Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 20 to 25 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, emotions from a loss, or maybe life has just thrown you one more curveball than you were expecting, it's so glad to have you here. Today, we're going to be talking about step three in the 12 steps. And there's some amazing observations. I don't know how many times I've been through these steps. But there's some amazing observations that I'm going to mention today. But it's always great to see people on this live broadcast that are from coast to coast here in North America. And then also literally around the world. We're now seeing somewhere around 23 or 24 countries of people that are listening on the various platforms. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to connect. Whatever platform you're watching this on, there should be a subscribe button or a chat box or a place to leave some comments. If you're on the Facebook page, please just comment with any thoughts and any inputs that you might have. For more information on the work that I'm blessed to do, you can go to my website, which is randymortensen.com. That's Randy, MORTENSEN.com. Later in the show, we will talk a little bit about 21-point assessment that's on the front page of that site. And that is a tool to determine whether you or a loved one qualifies for one of my programs. It's called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. And as I mentioned, today we're going to be talking about step three and just a little different perspective than some people have become accustomed to. This is really a blend of the 12 steps of AA, the 12 steps from faith-based recovery programs, and just the Life Recovery Bible, and it's a variety of sources. But this was a lesson that I taught just this past week at the Quest 180 here at Church of Viera in Central Florida. So step three is we made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. We made a decision. The key word here is decision, to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. Like all remaining steps, step three really calls for affirmative action. And it's only by that action that we can cut away that self-will, which has been holding us back, which has blocked the entry of God, or if you like, a higher power into our lives. Faith, to be sure, is necessary. Without faith, this isn't going to work. But faith alone will avail nothing. It will provide nothing with only faith, because we can have faith, yet keep God out of our lives. Therefore, our problem now becomes just how and by what means shall we be able to let him in? Step three represents our first attempt to do this. In fact, the effectiveness of the whole faith-based program will rest upon how well and how earnestly we've tried to come to a quote, a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And that's only in that moment. And in Romans, there's a verse that really, really gives us guidance as to why this is important. And in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." The 12 steps begin with an admission that what? Step one, we cannot manage our life on our own. In step two, we added to this foundation that started with step one, a belief that God could do for us what we could not do for ourselves. The first two steps really are meant to prepare us to make an important decision. And that decision is what happens in step three. But the first three steps, even though they are so monumental and so foundational, here's what I picked this up a few years ago that I really like. Because you can summarize the first three steps in three simple statements. Step one is, I can't. Step two is, God can. And then step three is I think I'll let him. So let me say those again. Three simple statements. I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. So what step three is doing is it's encouraging us to make a decision, turn our lives over to God's care. That's all that that means. We make a decision to turn our lives. And most of us know intellectually that God can care for us a lot better than we can care for ourselves. Can I get an amen on that? God can care for us a lot better than we can care for ourselves, but we may be afraid to trust God to care for us. Why would we be afraid? Well, we may have trusted other people who turned out to be untrustworthy. And as a result of that experience, we might not expect any caregiver, even God, to be kind or helpful. So even though we may know that God is graceful, filled with grace and loving, we may experience fear when we start to make the decision suggested here in step three. Making a decision, though, is all that's required of us in step three. Just make a decision. It's similar to planning a vacation. What do you have to do first? First, you decide to go on a vacation, right? Decide to go. Then you start making plans. And then what do? You actually take the vacation. So the steps are very similar to that thought process of taking a vacation. The decision is a very important part of the process, but it's not the whole process. Step three, you're making a decision. Some of you may be wondering, well, do I really need to trust God completely and totally for the rest of my life in order to do step three? No. Start by making a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to God's care today. It's a decision that you'll make today and make it one day at a time for the rest of your life. Each day that we choose to entrust our lives to God's care, our trust in God's wisdom and his love is going to grow. So as I've said a couple of times already, the decision we make is to turn our life and our will over to God's care. And it's a lifelong process, but here's the beautiful thing, guys and gals. That's the way that you can be led down the path toward peace and serenity. And we don't need to understand the entire process in order to begin. It's simply the process of turning it over. And that doesn't even come now. That's going to come later after you make the decision, because in Scripture, God is already aware of the choices that you're going to face, and he wants you to make good choices. One of the Old Testament books, Deuteronomy, in chapter 33, verses 19 and 20, is written this: "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." In those verses in the Old Testament, again, God urged his people, even back then, centuries and centuries ago, he said, choose life. We're reminded of that claim of Jesus Christ in John 14, 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So the way to life is choosing God and his gracious forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Our decision is important not only for us, but for our children also. So I would encourage you, choose life and pass the gift of abundant life and grace onto our children or onto your children. Here's a word that trips people up, because too often the word surrender is used to describe the turn in step three. It's a decision to give up on our own will and to surrender our will to God. The challenge is surrender can be a very confusing word. Why? Because it sounds like a sign of weakness or failure or giving up or losing. Many people who start working on step three, they're really fearful that if they turn their lives over to God, they're really not going to have a life left. and that they will lose everything. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, the opposite is true. What has led to all of the losses in our lives, in your life, is the refusal to surrender control to God. So what will lead to serenity and peace? It's our willingness to surrender to God. Jesus captured the heart of step three when he said this. He said in Matthew 10, verse 39, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. The only way to find life and get control of it is to submit to God through Jesus Christ. When you're living for self, we become a slave to material success. We become a slave to work or alcohol or illicit sex or pornography or any number of other compulsive and destructive behaviors. We've lost control of our life and we're in trouble unless we turn it over. And by turning to Jesus, we allow him to cleanse us of all of our addictions and show us the way to a real life, a life free of any destructive dependency. As we obey God, we will find meaning in our present life and the eternal peace with God. Jesus says that if we lose our lives, if we surrender our lives and turn over our lives to God, then we will find lives for the first time. We'll find our life of fulfillment for the first time. So what is it that we decide to turn over to God? What is it in this step that we decide to turn over to God? Our broken wills, our broken lives, our broken decision-making. And that's what we decide to turn over, to give to God in step three, is our broken wills and our broken lives and our poor thought process. It might not seem like much of a gift, but that is because we don't understand all that God can do with broken stuff, nor do we understand how different God's goodness and grace will be when it's separated from our own will, from our own desire, from our own poor choices. So when we choose to turn our broken wills and our broken lives over to God, we're doing that and hope that God will do a better job with our lives than we've done. There will be many pleasant surprises ahead on the journey as we begin to see the results of this decision. The psalmist expressed the hope that comes from surrender to God. A psalm of David in Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. This is surrender. Teach me, God, to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. In step three, we give our lives. We entrust our lives to God's care. What will it be like for God to care for us? At this stage of the journey, some of us may have terrible and frightening images of what this will be like. It may feel like turning ourselves over to a judge who's going to punish us severely, or even like turning ourselves over to an executioner. God's neither of those. Because God is a good caregiver. Things have gotten worse and worse as long as we've been in charge of our own care. With God in charge of caring for us, things will get better. Jesus often emphasized the kindness of God's loving care. For example, Jesus talked about how we exhaust ourselves trying to carry our own burdens. We are invited, Jesus says, to a very different kind of life in which we turn our burdens over to God. And that's characterized by what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." And he will do what? He said, "I will give you rest." When we finally decide to submit our life and our wills to God's direction, our burdens will become manageable. What are they today? If you've not made this decision to surrender, they're unmanageable. When we let him do the driving, he will find rest for our soul. He knows the way. He has the strength to turn us around and get us on the road toward recovery. But it's also important to remember how useful it is to keep the door of what one author referred to as the spiritual kindergarten open for everyone. You do not need to have a complete understanding about God or about Jesus to benefit from this step, from step three. At this stage in the journey, we're likely to still need that spiritual kindergarten, that early stage learning of what faith is all about. We won't get very far if we must pass an examination in theology before we make use of the 12 steps. The phrases, "we understood him," does not suggest that we already know everything we need to know about God. Our understanding of God will change as we work through the 12 steps. Remember, we're only on step three in this thought process. The phrases, "we understood him," means only that we act on the basis of what we have learned in step two. And what is that? We learned in step two that God's power is greater than our own and that God is powerful enough to restore us. That's all the faith we need to work on step three. It may seem to some people that this is just a little bit of faith, but as Jesus taught, God can do great things with a little bit of faith. How did he say that? How is that illustrated? Well, look at Matthew 17, 20. Jesus told them, "You don't have enough faith." That's what they mistakenly thought. So he was agreeing with them. "You don't have enough faith. I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move." Even with that faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing is impossible. We don't need a large amount of faith to begin the healing process in our lives. We need faith, even as small as a mustard seed, to affect change. Prayer and faith in God are tools for recovery. With these, we can move mountains. If you haven't asked Jesus Christ to be your higher power, the Lord and Savior of your life, I encourage you to do so as you're listening to this episode. What are you waiting for? I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute, but first I want to just share some exciting things that are coming. If depending upon when you're listening to this, we have a Lifestyle Champion Recovery, a Lifestyle Champion Men's Retreat Weekend coming the first weekend in November in the metro area of Minneapolis, St. Paul. There is another coming the first weekend in February in the metro area of Orlando. So during that, we will be talking about evaluating where you are in your journey, about equipping you and enjoying and empowering you. So if you're interested in more information about these weekend for men, please just text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. Or you can actually go directly to the website for the event, and that is lifestylechampion.org. That's lifestylechampion.org. Or just reach out to me, and my office number is 321-757-HOPE, 321-757-HOPE. And I hope you found this information helpful today. You can look for the replay of this to be on any of the podcast online outlets like Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many, many others. So please pray with me as we close out this session today. Dear God, I've tried to do it all by myself, on my own power, and I have failed. Today, I want to turn my life over to you. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. You are the one and only higher power. I ask that you help me think less about me and my will. I want to turn my will over to you to daily seek your direction and wisdom for my life. Please continue to help me overcome my hurts and my habits and those compulsive and destructive behaviors that are dominating my life, so that my victory over them may help others as they see your power at work in changing my life. God, please help me to do your will always. In Jesus' name, I pray. Guys and gals, if you prayed that prayer with me, please let me know by calling or sending me an email. My email is rmortensen@extremeinfluence.org. Because this is a lifestyle champion decision. There's a lifestyle champion in each and every one of us that's waiting to be revealed. So if you haven't previously asked Jesus to be your higher power and the Lord and Savior of your life, please don't wait another day to do that. The people who are struggling are moms and dads and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. And it's by your powerful witness that they can be saved, that their lives can be returned to a life of being fruitful. So if you do have more questions about the Lifestyle Champion Weekend for Men or for my Lifestyle Champion cohort that starts on a monthly basis, please reach out to me via my website, randymortensen.org, or just give me a call at 321-757-HOPE. I just want to say, have a blessed day and be extraordinary today.